Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if someone were to ask you what happened in the Reformation, what would you say? Probably the first event that comes to mind is Luther's posting of his 95 Theses, which is often considered the beginning of the Reformation. Looking back to what then followed, you might think about all the upheaval in the church, the changes that were brought in, and the resistance to those changes, the beginning of the Lutheran Church and of Protestant churches more broadly. All of that is part of what happened in the Reformation. But really, all of those developments were just part of something much bigger that was happening. What was happening in the Reformation is that God was working through those people and those events to give people his gospel. And that is what lies at the heart of the Reformation. The word gospel means good news, and the gospel that God gives us is the good news of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. It is the good news that, as Luther put it in his small catechism, our Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us lost and condemned people, purchased and won us from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. And so we are saved not by anything that we do, but by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. God gave us that good news in his holy word, the scriptures. But over time, the church drifted further and further from that word, so that by the time of the Reformation, the church was no longer clearly proclaiming the gospel, which meant that the people were no longer hearing a clear gospel message. So God, in his grace, again gave us the gospel by drawing us back to the gospel that he had already given us in his word. That is what was happening, for example, when Martin Luther posted his 95 Theses. At that time, the Roman Catholic Church was raising money by selling indulgences, promising people that if they just purchased one of those pieces of paper, either for themselves or for a loved one, that piece of paper would assure their entry into heaven. Well, the Lord was not content to sit by and watch his people being offered that kind of false assurance instead of the real assurance that the gospel gives. And so God worked on the heart and mind of a young monk and priest named Martin Luther, moving him to post his objections to the sale of indulgences, which he did in a list of 95 statements or theses. Copies of those theses then quickly spread throughout Germany, opening people's eyes to the emptiness of the false assurance that the church had been giving them, or rather selling them. And as a result of that, the church and the world would never again be the same. That was an important early step in the Lord's work of drawing his church back to the gospel. And the Lord then continued that work in a variety of ways in the years that followed. As people began to question what the church had been telling them, questioning whether what they were being told really was true to God's word or not, the church authorities in Rome saw that as a challenge to their authority and as a threat to their status and influence. They saw it as a threat to their power. And so they did their very best to quickly put an end to the Reformation. But it was soon seen that God and his gospel are not so easily deterred. And God, in fact, then actually used their opposition as another opportunity to get out the gospel the very gospel that they were suppressing. Those in power did their best to silence Martin Luther as the Pope excommunicated him and the Emperor declared him an outlaw and stripped him of all legal protection. And so, out of concern for Luther's safety, a supporter of his, Prince Frederick, arranged to have Luther kidnapped and hidden away in a remote castle for his safety. Now, it might seem that being hidden away in seclusion like that would limit Luther's influence and his ability to help get out the gospel. But by God's providence, what actually happened was exactly the opposite. Luther used his time hidden in the Wartburg Castle to translate the New Testament into German so that the people could at last have access to God's word in their own language. And as a result of that, the people soon had greater access than ever before to God's word and to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ that is found in that word. Much more then followed: the introduction of worship services in German rather than Latin, the publication of the Small Catechism to help people more clearly understand the main teachings of God's word, and much, much more. And God worked through many people in many places to bring all of that about. But the important thing to see that in all of this, the heart of what was happening is that God was giving the people the gospel, as through his word, by scripture alone, God once again broadcast to people everywhere the good news that we are saved by the grace of God alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and not by anything that we do. That is what was happening in the Reformation, and that is also what is happening today. As God continues working through his people, the people of the Holy Christian Church, to bring his gospel to every corner of creation, to bring his gospel to the heart of every sinner in need of a savior, to bring his gospel to all of us. And that is one of the most important things for us to take to heart as we celebrate the Reformation. That what we are really celebrating is not just something great that happened long ago in the distant past, somewhere far away from here. What we are celebrating is God's grace in giving us his gospel, giving thanks both for how he has done that in the past and also for all the ways that he continues to do that for us today. That is something that especially came through to my family and me this last summer when we were blessed with the opportunity to take a Reformation tour and to see the sites in Germany where some of the important events of the Reformation took place. The trip was a gift that we'll always be grateful for. And something that especially stands out in our memories of the trip is the ways that we saw God continuing to get the gospel out today. And to better appreciate some of the things that we saw there, I need to first give you a little bit of background information about the spiritual status of Germany today. As we've heard, at the time of the Reformation, tremendous things happened in Germany through the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for many years afterwards, Germany remained a vital center of Christianity and especially of the Lutheran Church. But very sadly, it has not stayed that way. Much like the church had drifted further and further from God's word before the Reformation, in the last century or so, and especially in very recent years, German society has drifted further and further from the Christian faith. According to recent surveys, about half of young adults in Germany say they have no religion at all, while only about 20% of the people attend a Christian church. But just like God was not content to sit back and watch people languish without the gospel at the time of the Reformation, but instead took steps to get the gospel out, So he is also taking steps today as he continues to send his gospel out to the people of Germany today. And my family and I were blessed to see some of the ways that he is doing that. One place we saw that was in Wittenberg. The city of Wittenberg was, in many ways, the center of the Reformation. It was there that Luther preached and taught and posted his 95 Theses. Yet, if you had visited Wittenberg just a couple of years ago, you would not have been able to find a single church to worship in that was faithful to the teachings of the Lutheran Church. Becoming aware of that, our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, purchased an historic building there, just a few footsteps from the church where Martin Luther used to preach, and has worked now with a partner church in Germany to again begin offering faithful Lutheran services there, and to again bring the biblical teachings of the Lutheran Church back to Wittenberg. We met the pastor who now serves that church. In fact, he just recently arrived when we were there. He had come from South Africa, and he told us an interesting story about that and about how he ended up in Wittenberg. He said that his grandparents had moved from Germany to South Africa when his grandfather was sent there as a missionary. At that time, South Africa had been only about 20% Christian. Now, South Africa is about 80% Christian, and this man, the missionary's grandson, was called to come back from South Africa to now serve as a missionary in Wittenberg, Germany, a city that is now about 20% Christian. He has a lot of work ahead of him, but it is encouraging to see how God is beginning to use him to bring the gospel to the people of Wittenberg once again. There, the work was just beginning, but in the city of Leipzig, we had the chance to hear more about how God has been working through his church and is making a real difference there through the gospel. Luther brought the Reformation to Leipzig when he visited and preached there. And the Lutheran church there was later known especially for their church musician, Johann Sebastian Bach, who was a very dedicated, faithful Lutheran. Like most of Germany, the church has declined significantly in Leipzig. But when we were there, we met a Lutheran deaconess who shared with us some very encouraging stories of how God is at work in the church there. She said that she and the pastors that she works with have been actively reaching out, bringing the gospel to the refugee community in Leipzig, and that as they've been doing that, they have been seeing a very positive response to the gospel. She talked about refugee families coming to the church for instruction in the German language, and hearing God's word in the process of that instruction, and then becoming part of the church. She also told us the story of another woman who had recently come to the Lutheran church there. This woman had come to Germany as a refugee from the Middle East, where she had been arrested and tortured for being a Christian. She managed to make it to Germany as a refugee, and it was in the Lutheran church there, and through this deaconess serving that church, that she has now found a faithful new church home and new church family in Leipzig. My family and I were encouraged by what we saw in Wittenberg and what we saw in Leipzig, but what especially stood out to us was what we then saw in Berlin. On a Sunday morning, we worshiped in Berlin in a congregation of our synod's partner church there. This congregation had started as a mission plant several years ago. And initially, it had struggled, finding it very difficult to reach into a culture that had become so secularized as German culture has. Then, a few years ago, The pastor of that church noticed that in the neighborhood around the church, there was a large influx of refugees from the Middle East, and especially from Iran. So the church began reaching out to their new neighbors, and in the last few years, the pastor has confirmed about 600 Iranian refugees. And now there in that Lutheran church in Berlin, they and many souls are receiving forgiveness, life, and salvation because God is giving his gospel to them there. The Sunday that we were there, we estimated that attendance was probably about 400 or so, and that probably about 90% of those in worship were refugees. Much like Luther had begun offering worship services in German instead of Latin, so that people could understand what was being said in the service. In the service that we attended, several parts of the service were first said in German and then translated into Farsi, the language of Iran, to make sure that all the worshipers would hear the gospel in words that they could understand. And a printed English translation was also provided for visitors. What we experienced there was a wonderful testimony to the fact that, to paraphrase part of Galatians, in Christ there is not Greek or Jew, slave or free, male or female, German, Iranian, or American, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. The service that morning included the baptism of a baby in one of the Iranian families, with a young German couple in the congregation serving as the baby's baptismal sponsors. Now, in our Reformation tour, one of the things that we enjoyed seeing was the church in Eisleben, where Martin Luther had been baptized 535 years ago, with the same baptismal font that he was baptized in. And I really enjoyed seeing the church and the font where Luther was baptized. But I tell you that the Sunday morning that we worshiped in Berlin, there was rejoicing in heaven as that young child was baptized into Christ. So God was at work in the Reformation to bring people his saving gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He is doing the same thing in Germany again today. And he is also doing the same thing for us here today. In a world that keeps drifting further and further from God's word, just like in Germany, and in a time when many churches have also sadly, tragically strayed far from God's word, much like at the time of the Reformation, God himself continues to send us his perfect word with his eternal, timeless gospel for us. There in his word, in his gospel, he comes to us sinners who could never earn our salvation and assures us that we are saved by God's grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Good news that we learn from God's perfect, unchanging word, Scripture alone. There in his word, he comes and strengthens us in faith toward him and in fervent love toward one another. There he comes and graciously gives us everything that we really need, not only for ourselves, but also to faithfully pass down to others, just as it has been faithfully been passed down to us. That is the subject of the hymn that we'll be singing as our closing hymn this morning, which is a hymn that Martin Luther wrote in 1542. At that time, there was a very real risk of invasion from the Ottoman Empire, which was Muslim. And so Luther was very concerned about what effect that might have on the Christian church in Germany if those Muslim armies did successfully invade. So, out of that concern, Martin Luther wrote the hymn, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word, as a prayer that whatever opposition might arise, the Lord would keep us steadfast in the faith, steadfast in his word. And the first time that hymn was sung, Luther actually had it sung by the children's choir of his church, because he knew that for the church to remain faithful, we need to faithfully pass down the faith to the next generation. May the Lord, who never tires of giving us his gospel, keep us and our children and our children's children steadfast in his word, now and forevermore. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.